The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue this evening, Doctrine of Satan and Satanic Counterfeits, Roman numeral 8, page 8 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you had the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, in His correct position, in rulership over the real you, experientially, so that we can, once again this evening, with the sin nature isolated, perceive the truth of Bible doctrine distorted, purely, clearly, as so intended, and have maximum opportunity to understand the plan of God in this vein. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary, as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for the freedom you have provided for us from the rulership of Satan and the sin nature in regards to our own lives and service to you. We ask once again this evening you bless us and take an opportunity of these benefits that is so graciously bestowed upon us so that we can once again study your word, be a God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, picking up here in the doctrine of Satan and Satanic counterfeits, Roman numeral 8 looks at the future of Satan, obviously from our present perspective. As we know, presently, and as it has been since the Restoration, Satan is free to roam about on this planet, him and his army of demons, with the exceptions that are imprisoned in Tartarus for the infiltration, the Genesis account, and free to manipulate believers as much as possible, nations in and of themselves, and even has the freedom to be granted an audience before God in the third heaven to bring accusation and to try to convince God to let him engage in certain nefarious activities otherwise in regards to creation. Satan has a definite future, one that he will not indefinitely go on in the same situation that he presently finds himself. So that's Roman numeral 8. The plan and policy of evil, which Satan is the author of, which Satan has promoted in the past and continues to propagate in the present, will continue to gain momentum among negative volition on planet Earth. History, biblical, teaches us that negative volition tends to end up dominating the planet no matter how conditions may have been initially. As we know, Adam and Eve are created perfect, sinless. They fell. Their firstborn son, Cain, went on negative volition immediately, killed his righteous brother Abel, and negative volition started to dominate the scene even pre-flood period. And then after the flood, you had Noah and his family, 8 members of the human race that were left alive. They were all believers, positive at least up to that point in time, in regards to doctrine. How soon was it before negative volition started dominating the planet again? By all calculations, within the turn of the first century after the flood, you had the Tower of Babel event, whereas mankind corporally migrated and sought to, under the manipulation of Satan, establish the first new world order in that respect. And God jammed that. He brought judgment upon mankind in that regard, and history moves on, and then throughout history we see a fluctuation, pockets of positive volition come out, but overall throughout history negative volition has basically been the more numerous of human beings on this planet. And it has gone on now for some 4,000 years since the flood. And apart from God intervening in critical times and periods of satanic attack upon the planet, he has provided the human race opportunity to continue to exist and to pursue positive volition otherwise. But as we progress in time, the satanic agenda is starting to receive more reins, more freedom under God's permissive will to try to carry out his primary objective, itinerary, in regards to mankind, and that is to establish, again, on a permanent basis, under a satanic agenda, a new world order with a one world, one religious system. And we are in that realm of human history where we are seeing the catalyst of that agenda being manifested and brought forth, and an actual part of our history in regards to all that's going on around us today, and it is only going to gain momentum as it is now in a snowball effect, if you will, waiting for the time when God the Holy Spirit will remove the restraints upon the Antichrist and Satan in this respect, and it will go into a full-blown frontal attack within a very short period of time, 7 years. So be for us living today in the church age, especially in the latter period of the church age, that which is commonly referred to as the rapture generation. We are entering the most intensified stage of the church age, a time when all aspects of evil and brutality are on the increase. Been on doctrine for a while, sometimes you start to just get, you know, somewhat cavalier in regards to recognizing the generation that you're in, because it seems like things are more or less the same. Changes are relatively subtle, etc. Well, I guarantee within the past decade that has changed. There are things occurring that we can see personally and validate and evidence even within our own society that is, quote, supposed to be Christian in regards to its representation. And in the last days of the church age, sin natures are going to run rampant, apart from, obviously, the control that God still enforces through establishment, orientation, and things of this nature. SDA is going to be given more and more freedom, and this in preparation for the world to embrace openly Satanism. It's not this scenario in the tribulation, the Antichrist, is not a proposition to bring in some, if you will, slightly colored satanic religion. No, it's going to be an open affront, open aggression for the world to embrace Satan himself. And that is the kind of world that we are quickly, we have been and are quickly eroding into and being prepared for in regards to our morality, philosophy, ideology, and all the other aspects that are associated with it. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Again, read it again. Realize this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Times where you sit there and you go, how can people be so asinine? Governments and things of this nature to permit such a flaunting of immorality and criminal activity. Unfortunately, big government has their cache of individuals who are behind a lot of this, etc. And in the last days, perilous times will come. We, whatever we may experience for the time we have left on this planet, obviously still is not the maximum in regards to what will come upon the planet after we are out of here. And we are to be knowledgeable. We are to have this wisdom within us, perception in regards to human history, so that we can be oriented in regards to the time we live in and be aptly prepared when the onslaught of the prophetic information comes upon us. That is, know this, realize this, don't be an ignorant idiot, spiritual idiot, your whole life. See, be of the know, be aware, on top of the games. Perilous times will come, and in that realm, you have obviously the spectrum of SEA activity that will characterize the human race overall. And understand, our country is not the only country that's going haywire. All you got to do is look in Europe and you see the same kind of BS going on over there that we see going on in our country often. But anyway, you would expect that, obviously, since that's going to be from where the Antichrist will chair his regime. But anyway, two, for men will be lovers of self. The conceited, selfish type of individual, lovers of self, they'll put themselves first. The dog-eat-dog mentality, don't care who they step on, don't care who it affects. A lot of it because of the second one, lovers of money, to pursue the almighty buck. It's hardly worth the papers printed on anymore. Boastful, arrogant. The arrogance is obviously being perpetrated through academia as well as other aspects of civil government, politics, things of this nature. People constantly claiming things as facts, and this is the way it is, and I'll do this, and it's not. Whether it's in theory or whether it's simply to try to sway people for the vote, you know, in politics. That kind of arrogance that they can get over people. Blasphemers, literally, translated revilers. Openly attacking the truth of God's word in regards to their agendas, disobedient to parents as far as the children go. Obviously, probably every parental generation has said that of their children, but we are in a time of the entitlement period where children, obviously, they're given recourse. They want to take issue with their parental disobedience and their family applying discipline. They can go to the government. Get themselves removed from their parents' house. See, things of this nature. Doing things behind their backs. Here, this is beyond just a general growing up SE activity that you see in all kids. It's an open rebellion. And our society often is promoted and has been produced through the attack on family and children, starting watering down the divine institution of marriage, beginning with common law marriage. Now it's all right just to live with whoever you want to live with. Want to have kids? Fine. Don't want to take care of them, well, fine. Give them to the sodomite population. They'll take care of them for you. Crazy. It's just crazy out there, man. It's getting crazier. See? Disobedient parents, ungrateful, not truly appreciating what has been bestowed upon them in regards to God's grace and life. Obviously, that is prompted in regards to technology, TV, commercials, to not ever be satisfied. See? That whole idea of you need to always be attaining to something higher and better in life. Or else you're really nothing. You know, that kind of mentality. And again, it's not that you can't advance yourself in these areas. That's not the point. It's just constant push. You can be anything you want to be. All right. Talking about a lie. Unfortunately, children, you cannot be anything you want to be. There'll be people that put you down if they don't like you and don't want you to be there. See, that's life. That's reality. But it's to fill people with these dreams and unattainable ideas and philosophies in life. You want to apply doctrine, that definitely goes against the grain. In doctrine, you want to be what God wants you to be. See? Unholy. Obviously, righteousness. Doing those things for the sake of righteousness is not the top on their checklist. If you don't get the approbation of that comes with human good and things of this nature, most often or not, you would not see all the humanitarian things going on in this world. All these Hollywood stars, etc., wasn't getting noticed, and their names put up in lights for all the money they may give to a charity or whatever. See how often that, see how far that will go. See how long it lasts. See. Verse 3, without natural affection. That's unloving. Don't even know how to properly be kind and considerate. To have a natural love and desire. Irreconcilable. Stubborn, stiff-necked. Like beating your head against a brick wall in regards to getting some people to change their mind, repent of the direction they're going and the activities that they engage in. Malicious gossips, as slanderers, talking bad about people, often discoloring what is being said in regards to a person, making it to look like something that is truly not. Most often people don't have all the facts to begin with. And that comes obviously through not bridling one's tongue. These are sins of the tongue. Without self-control, hard-pressed to do anything in moderation. Sit me down in front of a fried chicken dinner and you'll see what I'm talking about there. To do things in moderation. To maintain control. Like God tried to warn Cain, you need to control your sin nature. See, a certain SE activity will get you in a heap of hurt if you don't control it. Brutal brawlers, pugnacious is another term used in Scripture. Not really having concern for human life, the kind of torture techniques that is designed to make people squirm when they hear about it. The beheadings, people think that's, oh, that's cruel. No, cruel is like when you peel somebody's skin back a little layer at a time and watch them die over a matter of hours. Yeah. They call that skinning you alive. That was my parents' threat to me. Boy, you do that again, I'm going to skin you alive. And that's how I became such a fast runner. No, I'm just kidding. But brutal, see. What you would expect from times of war and what enemies do, what people do to their enemies, etc. Haters of good. The good there is not human good. Now, there's plenty of enough that go around. It's divine good, see. Of good sponsored by God. treacherous, reckless. Don't care for about other people's lives, putting other people's lives in danger by being stupid, reckless, not having real appreciation for one's own life. The adrenaline junkies of this world, they got to push everything, see. Put some silk wings on and jump off a mountainside to see how close you can fly towards the, away up from the ground and how far down you can go before you pull the parachute. I always love it when somebody kicks a bucket on something like that and their friends, well, he did what he went out doing, what he loved to do, man. This is what he loved to do. What? Crash and die? He loved to do that? What an idiot. Of course, it's very entertaining. But either way, reckless, see. Some people have reckless trends. I know I had one I had to get over, big time. Not that reckless. But either way, conceited, if you didn't know that about me, now you do. Again, eyes on self, the arrogance manifested in regards to the attitude one's better than somebody else. To be conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And you can find 10,000 people at the Browns Stadium and watch them lose every damn time they play. But you find them in Bible class one time out of the year? I doubt it. Let's see. Again, you do things in moderation. Nothing wrong with going to the Browns game if you like to watch them lose. That's fine. But to put those things before God, see, before Bible doctrine, before your NPR. Obviously, that's between the individual and God when people might miss class of that. Vacations bill, things of that nature. You know, to do it in moderation. Now, sometimes I'd like to have a longer vacation too, but you know, I'm gone from class for a week or two. That's enough for me as a pastor. Even when I'm around positive volition, I don't go on vacation with negative volition, by the way. Reversionists, forget it. You know, you want me to go on vacation, you're going to have to pay me a lot of money to go with reversionists. I don't care if they are family. No. When I go on vacation, I want to have a break, and that means fellowship. Fellowship with positive volition. You don't have to sit there and walk on eggshells because there's some thundies otherwise, or because of their spiritual dereliction in their own lives. Things of this nature, see. Now, that's not fun to me. Somebody you know will put up with your SCA because you're going to put up with their SCA even. That type of deal. Holding to a form of godliness, verse 5. That is the human good crust. To look pious, to look like they're spiritual, to look at their self-sacrifice. If you're attentive in regards to many of these movies where you have certain people that are like trying to take vengeance on behalf of somebody else, even though what they may do is really bad, but it makes them look good and all that. In these movies you watch, in almost every one of them, you will find a place in the movie where the person is stretched out, either dead or being tortured or whatever, and it's like they're on a cross. I see that all the time in these movies. Their arms spread out or whatever, see. Like it's the big sacrifice. That's all designed to bring attention in regards to making them look like they are extremely spiritual. See, the big sacrifice. Holding to a form of godliness, to human good crust. Although they have denied His power, what they do, what they pursue in their humanitarian or other good attempts in life is apart from the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and or out of line with the step of Bible doctrine in regards to their life. People think that if you have a lot of money, then you should just spread it around to everybody. That's stupid. That's not God's will for your life if He made you rich like that. No, you got money. You got to be discerning. It's not that God wants everybody to be given $1 million. See. But that's the mentality. People don't think along the lines of, what does God want me to do here? Oh, they'll wear the bracelet. But truly, and they're thinking at all times, they're not staying in fellowship, isolating their sin nature, and looking for doctrine as answer in regards to their situation at hand. See. Although they have denied His power, and avoid such men as these, those who promote this type of human good, you are to stay away from. Basically, as John says, if they're bringing you something contradictive to the SGE3 package that I've taught you doctrinally, you don't give these men an ear. Paraphrasing it. See. Don't give them an ear. They're not worth listening to. See. For among them are those who creep into households and captivate silly women, weighed down with sins, led on by various lusts. All made possible through modern technology. For a while, the radio, for a little bit longer, the TV, and now the computer. See. Always learning and never at all, literally, able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Differentiating between human learning and divine learning. See. And that comes, divine learning comes only through gap, through the proper protocol and chain of command as God has so designed in whatever dispensation you live in. Under your right shepherd of the church age, identifying with His voice. So we are in a time and place in history, as we know today, that all these things are being manifested more and more exponentially as time goes along. And it's all preparing people to, at one place and point in time in history, to shuck all the nonsense of other religions otherwise and give their heart to Satan. See, it is the time just prior to Christ's return. It's a time when scoffers are prevalent. You're not going to find a lot of people that are going to be patting you on the back and saying, yeah, you got the right attitude. You got the right read on this. Your doctrine's right on here. See? No, what you're going to run across are scoffers. People in their own way. Find a form of ridicule in regards to the truth of doctrine that you may proclaim otherwise. And this comes about in regards to the closer you get to the rapture. And people take that nonchalant attitude, it hasn't happened yet, so it's not going to. And knowing this, first of all, 2 Peter 3, verse 3, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. They'll have their own twists in regards to the rapture and other aspects, if not outright denial. Their own doctrine of the rapture, mid-trib, post-trib, following the all-millennialists, that rapture is only going to happen when we bring the millennium into perspective of the human race. See, Roman Catholicism, their stand in that regard. But mockers will come. You go to work, you go to school, and people hear what you have to say, whether it's in regards to time and period in which we live, or principles of other doctrines such as homosexuality and things of this nature. And people, to me, it's just unbelievable. how it's like it's just this wave of acceptance of homosexuality in our society. You know, to hear people speak against it was of the norm a decade ago. Still. But not now. People that have been raised up otherwise, to know otherwise, are fast falling into this trap. I'll let them, they're not hurting anybody. Oh, just bringing cursing on the nation, yeah, that's no big deal. I mean, they only caused a Sodom and Gomorrah to be wiped off the planet, not ever to exist again. That race, that vice, that abnormal vice. Yeah. But anyway, you have the mockers here, obviously, the immediate context in the Scripture is regards to the return of Christ, the second advent, and saying, where is the promise of this coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Uniformitarianism is a philosophy, a theory that has existed from essentially the beginning of negative volition and finding an alternative regards to rejecting God and His plan. It's obviously made a big comeback within the last century or so of our existence as it transformed into that which is known as evolution. And now everything in TV, basically, evolution is stated as a fact. And when they do throw in the truth, they try to ridicule and make the person that speaks the truth make them look stupid. Evolution's a fact. Well, that's your opinion. That type of deal. For when they maintain this, verse 5, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water. How do we know that? Bible doctrine. It's because it's recorded for us in the Scripture. That's what escapes their notice. They reject the doctrine, see. They are blind because they're not willing to take the doctrine at face value in that respect. Through which, but we have obviously physical evidence too in regards to the flood that existed otherwise. And the fact that our continents weren't always in the formation of what we see them as on the map today. One time it was one large continent called Pangaea. Through which the world at that time, verse 6, was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by His word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So, evolution has captured the scientific and academic marquee of domination over the world. So, obviously, that ideology is in place and it is established and being nailed down even more and more as time goes on. Don't ever expect the scientific community to ever come off of that evolutionary thing. All they will do at best will twist it in some other form of their imaginary mind. A creationist to dominate science, the field of science. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That'd be all right. But it would be an exception to the rule as far as I'm concerned. D, our age will end with the rapture of all believers. This event is immediately followed in by the appearance of the Antichrist, the man of sin that will take apostasy to new heights. Again, all that we are seeing, all we're experiencing, is going to be jumped up at the second, third, fourth power when the Antichrist comes on the scene. And Christ's return in regards to his person comes in two parts, as we know. The rapture speaks of his return, which does not mean he comes all the way back to planet Earth, but he stops short in our atmospheric heaven. All believers, that all those who have believed in the church age, which the church age is, has, if you will, start cut off or start beginning point, which is the day of Pentecost in 33 A.D., and everyone who has believed or have been believers from that time, if you believed before that, you entered into that period, you became part of the church. Until Christ decides to return for the church, that is the rapture of the church. And as we know, all those who have gone on before us, they will receive a resurrection body before us. Those who of us who will remain alive, not all of us will be asleep when this occurs, will immediately, after the dead ones get their resurrection body, receive ours in a twinkling of an eye. It's got to be a rush. What a rush. And we will all together then ascend to the clouds and meet Christ in the clouds. And then that's when the Bema ceremony takes place, the marriage ceremony in regards to the church with Christ. But Old Testament saints, they are still waiting their resurrection. That occurs 7 years later at the second advent. And at that time, Christ will return to this planet with the church and with a host of angels and come all the way back and put his foot back on terra firma. And he will destroy all the enemies, all his enemies in that vein. And then the Old Testament saints will receive their resurrection bodies. And then we go into a new dispensation known as the millennium. So we go from the church to 7 years, which is the final seven-year period of the Age of Israel, which was the dispensation that was cut short, as prophesied in the book of Daniel, because of their murder of their Messiah, and obviously the grace that God already foreordained that would come upon the planet. But the seven final years will occur, and it's during that time that the Antichrist will seek to establish himself, Satan, in that way. And once the church is removed, then the world will be faced with the appearance of the Antichrist and all the evil associated with that period of history. Again, at that point in time in history, at the rapture, Christ is going to remove all believers from this planet. So there will not be a believer left on the planet. That is quite the opposite of the way it's occurred in the past, and as it will in the millennium. But evangelization will still occur through God's elect angels, and the 144,000 will be extremely instrumental. The two prophets will appear, Moses and Elijah. They'll have their role in all this, and the world will still be evangelized. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and 2. Paul had to deal with this. Simply brings out the fact that people have tried to erroneously proclaim that the rapture has happened or that it won't happen. That attack's been going on since the early church. And he says, verse 1, "Now we request you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." That looks at the rapture. "That you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." In other words, these believers were at Thessalonians were fed by false teachers that they were actually in the tribulational period. Or you're into an all-millennial type of scenario. Theologically, it's not exactly stated, but otherwise. And then he goes on and gives us the correct doctrine, gives them the correct doctrine. in regards to the fact that God the Holy Spirit must obviously remove his restraining ministry before it happens. The church must complete his course, etc. And when that happens, the world as we have known it will really no longer exist in the vein of a philosophical, theological outlook, apart from the doctrine that is otherwise communicated on this planet in contradiction to it, to their human viewpoint and evil. At the third year, first month of the trib, then, that's when the rapture is the that which unlocks the door for the Antichrist to be resuscitated from the dead and to appear on this planet, which is none other than Alexander the Great. And then at the third year, first month of the trib, the tribulation, the period is divided out into two halves in the book of Revelation. And to recognize and to decipher the events within that seven-year period. And the first year, the first half of the trib, as bad as it will be, that's the good part. The second half is when it really gets bad. But anyway, at the third year, first month of the trib, a tribulation, Satan is barred from the third heaven, and he and his army of demons are confined to planet Earth. In regards to his role, we know that there is a great Star Wars that will occur during this period. I've dated it in conjunction with the destruction of Babylon, the USA in prophecy. It made all the sense to me time-wise. And the Star Wars will occur fairly simultaneously to that. Babylon's taken out of the picture. Satan's been thrown down to the planet. And at the same time, all the demons that have been locked in Tartarus are going to be released for a five-month period. And in the book of Revelation, that brought us to the midpoint of the trib chronologically, if you remember back going through that. The war in heaven, the angelic war, where Michael defeats Satan, the dragon. And the dragon and his angels wage war, etc. We read that not too long ago. So, at that point in history, Satan no longer will have access to the third heaven. He no longer will be able to confront God and accuse believers before God. He and his demons will be restricted to the planet. What that means in regards to anything outside of our atmospheric heaven and their availability to go, I don't know. But they definitely are barred from the third heaven, whether they still have access to parts of stellar space or not. We'll have to wait and see. If he will personally enter at that point in time and possess the Antichrist. Basically, that possession will occur midpoint, embarking on a campaign of anti-Semitism designed to eliminate true Israel. As the rest of chapter 12, as the scenario goes on, he is extremely angry, under, if you will, unabated anger. And he will try to take it out on Israel, to persecute the woman who gave birth to the male child, as Revelation 12:13, etc., etc. Finishing out that chapter. And then in 13, 1 through 12, there in Revelation, we have the Antichrist again there. Before, you're looking at Satan, then you have the Antichrist seen in parallel in conjunction to him. In regards to the scenario, and he comes up from Sheol, Hades, where he's at now in his soul, resuscitated, and starts his endeavor and goal to become the ruler of the world. And he's brought out 13:1-12. And again, Israel will be a primary target along with other positive militias that will be found on this planet. Obviously, after that point, he's not going to find any over here. People haven't got out and heeded the words of God that come out of Babylon when he gave them the warning, then they'll be crispy critters if there's anything left. G, through the Antichrist, Satan will receive the worship of mankind he so desperately seeks. His version taken on the form of humanity as part of the unholy trinity along with the false prophet. Daniel 12. Gives us some chronological orientation, time orientation, in regards to this period of history. As for me, I heard but could not understand, Daniel 12:8. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these things? And this is all looking at the end times. Again, you had the mention of Michael the archangel in this context in verse 1. But anyway, obviously this is prophecy, doctrine, in regards to Old Testament saints, that is a lot to digest. And to be able to put it all in perspective prophetically, Daniel was not able to do so upon receiving of the vision, etc. My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Reflecting upon the fact that God doesn't always reveal all doctrine at any given point in time. He is free to dispense it as he so chooses. We've not received all the doctrine that is yet to come upon humanity, even as the church. And many will be purged, verse 10, purified and refined. Looking at the fact that we'll produce a pressure situation for positive volition to absolutely reveal itself in the highest, if you will, of applications. Most often than not, martyrdom. See. And all the other things that they'll have to withstand during this period in time in history, become a believer during the tribulation. You'll reach maturity pretty fast if you got positive volition in that regard. It's not saying that every believer will be positive phase two, but they will have obviously the heat to refine them very quickly. And in that regard, you have the positive, then you have the negative, but the wicked will act wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. People will figure it out, still just like we figure it out. And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. And that looks at verse 12, how blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1335 days. And this looks at time put together in regards to the half of tribulation. 1290 days is 3.5 years. The 1335 looks at another 45 days after Christ's return. Midpoint, make sure I'm clear, halfway into the trib. That is when Satan's image will be established in the Israeli temple. It will exist there in that fashion until Christ returns, the second advent, another 3.5 years later, 1290 days. and then another 45 days at that, during that period of time, the transition period, where Christ will cleanse the temple either by tearing it down, building a new one, or whatever. In that regards, in the millennial period, then we'll start up, if you will, formally. In that regards. And that's the blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains it 1,935 days, because they will enter into that period of history. A thousand-year reign of Christ. But as for you, go your way to the end, then you will enter into the rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Don't concern yourself with prophecy beyond what I've revealed to you otherwise. You figure out what you can with it. Don't worry about it. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing in your dispensation, and you'll have your inheritance when you're raptured or resurrected at the second advent. So anyway, that's where we're at there. So that's Daniel 12, 8 through 13. Matthew 24, 15 through 22. Christ, in his teaching of the last day, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, or desecration, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, just what we just read, standing in the holy place, that's the 1290 days into the tribulational period, midpoint, when the Antichrist's image is established in the temple, the most holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things that are on his house, or that are in his house. Let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. Hey, you get that news, you drop whatever you're doing, and you get the hell out of Dodge. You'll have a window of opportunity. This is essentially the impression that's left with us. They will have a window of opportunity. Certain believers that are there in Jerusalem, in Israel at that time, to escape the ordeal that Jerusalem is going to face in the final 3.5 years. And these are the ones who are able to escape out the mountains that back in Revelation God protected, that Satan tried to hunt down, and he protected them by wiping out his army of people they sent in to get them with a flood. See? You got to understand, you got different aspects, different people at different times are going to be affiliated with Israel. Not everybody's going to believe at the same time. They're going to believe at different times. They're going to get the doctrine. Some people are going to apply the doctrine, some won't. Not everybody's going to hear these words. And they'll be stuck there in Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden they'll be there at the end and look like they're dead meat with Antichrist coming down the deal. And Christ comes in and saves their bacon. Speaking of bacon, I saw a funny one that said vegetarians are killing millions of plants every day. Save plants, eat bacon. But anyway, I thought of that. Get out of Dodge. Let him who is in the field not turn back and get his cloak. 19, but woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. You're pregnant, it's going to really put some pressure on you. It's going to be an ordeal. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. When transportation and means of transportation would be at a point where it would be hard to get around, or everybody, I'm not taking any way, it's a Sabbath. I'm not working today. Thank you. See. Uh-oh. So that's kind of interesting that he would say that. To pray for this. It seems to me he's looking for the prayers to make sure that it doesn't happen for that. Looking for Paul's volition to pick up on it. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world till now, nor ever shall. Verse 21. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. 7 years, it doesn't seem like a very long time, but it'll seem like a long time otherwise for those. And so God doesn't let it go on indefinitely in that respect. Then, again, back to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come, the day of the Lord, which is a code for the tribulational period, judgment. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship. So he takes his seat in the temple of God, the tribulational temple, displaying himself as being God. And then, again, Revelation 13, verses 4 through 8 and verse 15, that he will cause people, poor and rich, powerful, meek, to bow down before. So age at the second advent, Satan leads the Antichrist just prior to his destruction. He will orchestrate all the nations to come together at his behest to come in and convince him that what we got to do is get hold of this one piece of real estate and make it ours. And this is where we'll I'll establish my throne and rule from this central area, Israel, see, Jerusalem. And Satan will come, will return at the last second, if you will, as it will seem, and destroy all of his enemies. And when that happens, Satan ain't hanging out with the Antichrist anymore. He's out of there. And Antichrist, as we know, the Antichrist and both the false prophet are the first residents thrown into the lake of fire. But the Antichrist otherwise has his own destination. Revelation 19, 20, compare 20, verse 2. As we know, he's apprehended and incarcerated for 1,000 years in the abyss. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. J, he is released following the 1,000 years and immediately demonstrates that he is incorrigible by instigating a final worldwide rebellion against the perfect rulership of Christ. At the end of 1,000 years, in spite of all the evidence otherwise, men will, negative volition will still manifest itself, and unbelievers will exist as many as sands on the seashore. And Satan will once again take up his old habits in regards to deceiving the nations and try one more revolt against God historically on this planet. The battle of Gog and Magog. And K, the rebellion is crushed by God, and Satan is cast in the lake of fire, already prepared for him, joining the Antichrist and false prophet already suffering there, Revelation 20:10. L, he will be there tormented day and night, forever and ever. The appeal has been settled. Judgment has been executed. He has his final resting place in the lowest spot in hell, or a lake of fire, in degradation, humiliation, etc., for all eternity. Revelation 20:10. All right, well, we can get through it, but we'll finish this up Thursday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, lighten these things. In Jesus' name, amen.